If you find this podcast helpful, please subscribe to our YouTube channel at Tools of the Podcast Trade. Follow us and also leave a 5-star review. I really appreciate your support. Thank you. My guest today is CEO of Revelancer, Carl Swanepoel. Thanks for coming and speaking to me, Carl.
Well, thanks very much for having me.
Yes. Okay. So before we get into what you do, because it's a fascinating story that I'm sure we'll all want to hear. Can you tell us, who is Carl?
Well, I'd say I'm someone who is very obsessed about entrepreneurship and freelancing and have been for a very long time. My hobby has been entrepreneurship and freelancing and sort of all kinds of online business for a long time. And now I'm fortunate enough to, you know, have that as a full-time gig.
Okay. All right. So I noticed that you just said it, that you started at a young age. And I see that you started from 13 freelancing. Now, we didn't call it freelancing that back then, I'm sure. But what got you into freelancing entrepreneurship? What got you into that working lifestyle?
Sure. Yeah, well, when I was quite young, so probably 11 or 12 or so, I decided that I wanted to work for myself. I also realized that that's a very difficult thing to pull off, that, you know, many people much older than I was at the time, you know, very talented people struggle with, because it's just not an easy thing to do. So when I was 13, I decided to, you know, start taking it very seriously, thinking that the more experience I can kind of rack up, while I don't have, you know, sort of obligations to kind of, you know, pay rent or provide for a family, you know, the more experience I could gain in that time, in the better position I would be in to hopefully pull this off. So that's kind of when I got started. So when I was 13, I started freelancing graphic design and web development services. I worked on a bunch of different platforms. I realized quite quickly that these platforms weren't really working right for freelancers and the clients alike. So when I was 15, I started my own freelancing platform, which I was forced to sell because I was too young to have a PayPal account, you know, about 6 months later. But yeah, I mean, that's essentially how I got started, and I've had a real passion about this space for a while.
Okay. All right. Thank you for sharing that. I'm still intrigued, though, as to, because when we're young, we're told, you know, go to school, get good grades, go on to college, then get a good job. But what sparked that imagination in you that you weren't going to be that person?
It's difficult to say where it came from, because both of my parents, you know, kind of went the post-grad route. My dad is a professor, and my mom, you know, used to work in the academic field as well. So they were both, you know, quite sort of persistent about me taking school a lot more seriously, you know, whereas my focus and you know, heart and head were somewhere else. So I don't really know where it came from exactly, but I've always been quite a creative person who, you know, has wanted to do something new and break the mold, rather than, you know, going for what is, you know, by all accounts a safer route, but also in my view, you know, a more boring route, or it certainly would be for me personally.
Okay, so I would say that it was an inborn, you know, inborn, a grain of seed there that wouldn't go anywhere. It kept growing, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd say I've always been this way.
Okay, so the first business, the one that you had to give up because you were too young, was that the buy sell jobs platform?
It was, yes. So yeah, buy sell jobs was okay. A freelancing platform that I started in late 2014.
Okay. And what kind of experience, what did you learn from that venture that made you successful in Revelancer?
A huge amount. I mean, I spent, you know, what little money I had saved up just on getting the website live. So I didn't have any money to promote it, nor did I know anything about advertising and marketing. So I just had to, you know, do trial and error, and I had to do it with zero money. So, you know, I tried lots of different things, but I managed to scale it to a few thousand users within a few months without ever spending anything on advertising. So tried lots of things that didn't work, but I also tried some things that did work really well. So I learned a huge amount from basically just being thrown in the deep end and, you know, trying to figure out how to scale the platform with nothing, you know, which has really paid off with Revelancer, because now we are venture capital backed. But still, I have this kind of mindset of, you know, not just throwing money at a problem, but really, you know, thinking about how the problem can be best solved in a really kind of cash efficient way. And that's kind of been ingrained into me for, you know, having sort of done this kind of thing for so many years when I didn't have any money as a kid, basically, as a teenager. I mean, in many ways, it's helped a lot.
Yeah, so it was like a training ground for the real deal, which is Revelancer, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I read somewhere that you want to eliminate the 9-to-5, you know, the 9-to-5 thing, mindset. And tell us about that. Tell us about that movement.
Yeah, absolutely. About a month ago or so, we launched a petition to ban the 9-to-5, and we got over 16,000 signatures, and got quite a lot of press coverage from that, and also you know, coverage on social media. Essentially, you know, I'm not really kind of serious about banning the 9-to-5, you know, kind of just outright like that. But what the point of the whole, you know, petition and that whole movement is to call into question some of these kind of traditional customs of work, and then also presenting an alternative and kind of spreading the virtues of freelancing. So it's really to just get people to pay attention, you know, because unfortunately, something like 3/4 of people are not satisfied with their job, you know, which is horrible. And frankly, I think that, you know, a freelancing route could really help a lot of those people, you know, be a lot more fulfilled in many different ways.
Yes, for sure. I guess if we could change our mindset about freelancing, because a lot of us think that 9-to-5 has job security, right?
Oh well, yeah, absolutely. And I mean, in some ways, I'd agree. But then again, you know, it is what you make of it. You know, if you don't take freelancing very seriously, and you don't kind of, you know, really get creative and contact as many people as possible and, you know, try your best, you're not going to succeed. But then equally, if you decide to show up to your 9-to-5 and not try, you're going to get fired. So then, you know, I mean, I think what the pandemic kind of helped people realize is that nothing is as secure and risk-free perhaps as they thought before. And that, you know, sometimes it's worth taking a risk, because, well, you know, everything in life is a risk. And if you take calculated, slightly bigger risks, like perhaps going into freelancing, then there could be a very big upside there for you.
Yes, for sure. All right. So let's talk about Revelancer. We have Fiverr, we have Upwork, we have FlexJob. We have a host of platforms that host freelancers. What makes Revelancer different?
Sure. So, I mean, if we look at the market leaders today, so some of those platforms you mentioned, the way that they make money is through commission fees. So if we take Fiverr as an example, they charge 20% to the freelancer and 5% to the client. So in other words, you pay $105 for a service and the freelancer gets 80. So first of all, you're paying sort of a lot more than what the freelancer is actually getting. So then there's a question of what value are you getting? And also from the freelancer's perspective, like, you know, do they overcharge you to account for that? Do they settle for a lower rate than what their work is worth? You know, it poses some difficult questions. But the bigger, you know, arguably bigger problem that this causes is platforms like Fiverr don't let you exchange email addresses or hop on a video call or Slack or whatever. And the reason why is because if you could talk outside of their platform, where they can't carefully monitor your communication, you could and probably would find a way around their insane commission fees. So that and they know that, and that's why they don't allow those things. So we solve those problems in a very simple way. We don't charge commission fees, and we let people communicate outside of the platform.
Okay, thank you. That's awesome. Putting the freedom back in freelancer, right? So I noticed there's another difference, though, in how Revelancer manages the members on its platform. I didn't notice any payment system. So why is that? And can you explain how that works?
Yes. Yeah, so we have a novel skills and service exchange feature that's credit-based. So basically, you know, I could build you a website and you design me a logo, but we don't need to trade with one another. So, you know, I could build you a website, you pay me 1,000 credits, and then I could use that to source, work from an accountant or something, which is maybe not a service you provide, or, you know, the copywriting or whatever it is. And then it gives a lot more flexibility. And a lot of freelancers are already engaging in skills and service exchanges, despite the inflexibility of doing it without a system like that. But now, of course, Revelancer has a novel system that solves those problems. But outside of that, you know, we also have paid work opportunities for freelancers. We have a sort of a feed where people can upload their portfolios and various other bits. So you can browse what other freelancers are up to and be inspired and get in touch with them. So we're quite a well-rounded platform, really addressing kind of all of the key needs of the freelancer.
That's an interesting concept, a bit like the barter system, right? So do freelancers actually pay to have access to a system like that?
So right now it's 100% free.
Okay. All right. Thank you. How do you find the courage, given that you failed and failed in a significant way? How do you find the courage not only keep going, but to start new ventures?
I mean, that's a good question. I'd say from when I was very young, I've always had this kind of mindset of facing my fears by jumping into the deep end. And I've kind of trained that into myself so much that now whenever there's something that scares me, I want to do it more, you know, obviously within reason. So not anything like stupid or dangerous, but maybe something that makes me nervous. So for example, public speaking, that made me nervous, but then I prepared for speaking in front of 100 people by speaking in front of 250 people a few times first. So that, you know, and then speaking in front of 100 people was not a problem at all. I'd say, you know, lots of different things, you know, have kind of caused me to be nervous or have some level of fear. But I've always tackled those problems by jumping in the deep end and, you know, just getting started.
Ah, jump and grow wings, huh? What is Carl grateful for today?
I'd say I'm most grateful for all the amazing people who have helped me and who are kind of on my, on my journey with me to improve the freelancing space for the better and forever. So, you know, that comes down to mentors, my team, my co-founders, advisors, investors, you know, just everyone who has really supported our journey. And, you know, and I certainly couldn't have done it alone. I think that's also very important to say. You know, I've only been able to achieve what I have because of lots of really fantastic, talented people around me kind of helping me out.
Thank you, Carl Swanepoel, for coming and talking to us today on Tools of the Podcast Trade. I really appreciate it. And before I let you go, can you give some advice to an up-and-coming entrepreneur, especially in the podcasting space?
Yeah, so the first and most important thing is this question of why. So, you know, I ask, why do they want to start a business or, you know, become an entrepreneur, whatever it is they want to do? And you know, and it's very important for people to have a very good understanding of, you know, what drives them and what motivates them, and then kind of start there. And I mean, you know, starting a business isn't for everyone. It can be a very painful experience at times. It's really like a roller coaster. You have some very high highs, but you also have some very low lows, you know, and that's if things go well. If things go less well, then maybe you have a lot more very low lows. So, you know, it's not for everyone. One question I like to ask people that I think is a pretty good indicator of whether entrepreneurship is right for them is, would they rather be bored or stressed? And most people would much rather be bored than stressed. But for me personally, there's absolutely nothing worse than being bored. So I would much rather be stressed. And you know, and that tends to be, in my experience, a pretty good indicator, actually, that particular question. I'd say that's the best place to start is, you know, to really understand yourself and figure out if it is for you. And then if you decide that it is, then the best thing to do, it's cliche, but it's really true, is to just start. You know, you're not going to have all of the answers up front. That's not how it works. You're never going to have all of the answers. But the best way to start getting some of the answers and getting enough of the answers to move forward to the next level is to just go out there and try and do and learn on the job. And that's what I found to be by far the most effective thing.
Amazing. Okay. Can you tell us how we can get in touch with you? I almost forgot that.
Yeah, so probably the best place would be LinkedIn. I've also got a personal site with contact details. So if you just search my name on Google, you'll find both of those. And then if you want to check out Revelancer, just head over to revelancer.com and you can start your freelancing journey.